Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of September, recording at 9:06 p.m., and it's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and it doesn't make pretty viewing unless you're a bear really across the boards. First, stock markets in Asia retraced a good portion of their gains yesterday, although not that Japanese banks index, which incidentally had had such a powerful performance overall, but it may well be challenged tomorrow. European stock markets were down, and then they were up, and they closed with modest losses. Wall Street, however, is closed with big losses, more than offsetting yesterday's gains. We're still getting some after-hours numbers, but the Dow's currently down 280, and the S&P is down a whopping 43 points. That's 3.4%. Now, what's happened here in long-dated government bonds? Well, they have surged, not surprisingly, particularly in the USA. The U.S. dollar, now that's been swinging around here. It was up and then it was down, and it's mostly steady in here right now. But I noticed that the dollar index is still down slightly, but nevertheless, it's at 79.51 right now, and it had been down below 79 earlier on. A big hit here in precious metals. Platinum is down $120. Gold is down over $24. Silver is down 68 cents. And the industrial metals are also weaker, although much smaller declines. Overall, crude oil has been walloped in here today. It's currently at 102. So, you get the picture here. Well, if I summed it up in one word, it's deleveraging. If I added another word to precede deleveraging, it would be global deleveraging. That continues. Now, we are seeing the heaviest deleveraging right now in the commodity sector, with these precious metals being walloped, and the mining shares have been hit. And Brazil's stock market is down 4.4% here today. So those, of course, were the last sectors to peak, and that's where we had a huge concentration of funds, and that's being thrown out. So we're seeing some capitulation selling here in the commodity area overall. And that, if you're looking for a silver lining in all that, does indicate that, well, the more capitulation selling you see, the closer you are to the actual bottom and a recovery. But I still don't like the technical action, and would be very, very cautious in here. Clearly, markets a day after the Fed's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac deal are unimpressed and feel that the problems are ongoing. In other words, they're waiting for the next shoe to drop, whether it's Lehman Brothers or whether it's the credit card debt or whether it's the automobile loans or whether it's something in the derivatives packages, and on and on and on. So black mood here in the markets today. And bank shares, well, they mostly gave up yesterday's gains, although the performance has been one of the more encouraging. The performance overall has been one of the more encouraging developments here since mid-July. But in this type of environment, I've written about it a little bit more here today in comment, and I won't appreciate I won't review all those points, but probably the single most favorable factor is the mountain of cash that we see in money market mutual funds, but that's likely to get bigger before it gets smaller. And on the negative side, I feel the stance of central banks is still quite restrictive. They're still fighting inflation, but they are crisis oriented. And if they feel that a crisis mentality is developing in stock markets, then we would probably see some action, as has certainly been the case in the past. You know, so we've had the greatest frenzy of Fed and Treasury, U.S. Secretary Treasury action, or U.S. Treasury action, when markets have been accelerating downwards. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a little cough. Okay. So, what to do in here? And I think probably as little as possible. I have really lowered my trading activity. Veteran subscribers will know that my trading is usually quite active. And fortunately, that's been rewarding far more often than not. But more recently, I've cut back because I've been nervous this year. My trading activity is way down over the last 6 months. And frankly, what I have done in the last 6 months or last 3 months, at any 3 or 4 months, I would have been far better off not to have done at all. So even if you're getting small losses, if you string those all together, then they start to amount to some big losses. So it's a tough environment in here. It's an environment in which one feels, or I feel, sort of de-skilled. I have far more questions than answers in here. Now, that's not totally unprecedented. That happens from time to time, and those who attend the chart seminar or have attended the chart seminar will recall one of the comments that of the few things that we can guarantee in life, there will be periods in markets where we get wonderful, consistent, rhythmic trends. And those will be great money making opportunities, rather. And there will also be times we can guarantee that eventually those great orderly trends will give way to either a bearish environment or a very whipsaw churning, choppy action. Just think about yesterday's action. Well, today's action's pretty choppy as well, but yesterday's action was unbelievably choppy in the bonds, in the US dollar, in the stock markets. So those are the really dangerous periods when it's just too easy to lose money. So personally, what I feel I want to do, I certainly want to remain very involved, quite apart from the fact that there's the Fuller Money Service to produce. But if I were sitting at home, I would feel personally that I wanted to stay very, very involved in terms of watching the charts, reading the articles, reading the reports, taking it all on board, while disciplining myself to do as little as possible. Why such close attention? Because this too will end, to coin a phrase, and we will get back to an extremely good environment. But in all honesty, I don't know whether that happens this month, although I doubt it, or whether that happens several months from now or at some point in 2009. We've been in this sort of overall bearish trend for quite a while now. I assume that we're well along that path. Valuations have improved considerably, but the trouble is that the global economy is still slowing and corporate profits are still falling. And the valuations that we do have, which are historic, are not at eyebrow-raisingly or mouth-wateringly attractive levels yet. So again, I'm quite content to sit on the cash that I have, and I feel that it's too late to sell the things that I actually hold, because I almost certainly wouldn't get back into them if markets turned sooner rather than later. So that's a kind of sort of uncomfortable, uneasy position that I find myself in overall. But the most important thing I emphasize is that I just think we really do need to pay close attention to what's going on here. Try to remain calm and analytical in this environment, and just monitor the data, not least the price charts that you have requested and that we have provided with a service. Now, long dated. Oh, first, also, I should mention just the obvious here, in talking about these concerns, is that the USA's economic problems are certainly special. I see some reports. Our old friend Anatol Kaletsky, I mean, he's very bullish. It has been for a while. I think he's underestimating the risks, and I don't want to do that going forward. But what we also know is that by the time we see empirical evidence that we're out of the recession, that stock markets will already be well into their next recovery. So that's my emphasis on the charts. Meanwhile, stock markets remain in overall downward trends, although the performance of banks, as I said before, since mid-July has been encouraging. Those are mostly OECD banks, and particularly European and USA banks, but those are very important. I regard the banking sector as a lead indicator, as you know. It is heartening to see long-dated government bond yields come down, but of course, borrowers' yields or yields from the banks, if they're willing to lend. Yeah, let me start over again on that. Long-dated yields for anybody who needs to borrow are high, and that's assuming that they're lucky enough to be able to borrow. Although, frankly, I wouldn't want to be borrowing anything here in this environment. Okay, but long-term government bond yields have come down. That's a precondition for the bottom of bear markets. The upward spiral in commodity prices is well and truly in reversal. Platinum and silver are down nearly 50% off their highs, and gold's had a big tumble, as you know. So all those blinking inflation indicators, well, the ones that remain are in the form of union demands for higher pay. And so that may contribute to a bit of a stagflation environment in here. Well, you know what will happen, and so do I, that the settlements will be less than the unions want, but more than governments we're wanting to see. And but other developments here. We have a mountain of cash on the sidelines, but no real reason why anybody should draw down that cash and plummet back into the stock market or pump it back into the stock market just yet. US dollar. I do feel that there will be a price for the dollar to pay in terms of all these bailouts, but that's not what the market's concerned about at this time. And currencies are so often momentum driven, and I think part of the global deleveraging that's certainly turned out to have supported the dollar. And people are rationalizing staying with long dollar positions or even buying more. on the basis of what they back right to back to old purchasing power parity. And so they're saying that the dollar is still cheap relative to other currencies. So I've never been a purchasing power advocate, but I certainly never want to fight the trend of currencies. And the trend for the US dollar is still up. But I do maintain that what the sort of bailouts that we're seeing in the United States will be dollar bearish in the medium to longer term. Crude oil, I have said all along that I thought we'd see it go down below the $100 level. We are seeing the pieces fall into place here for central banks to shift their emphasis here from fighting inflation to promoting growth. But again, central banks are crisis oriented and they may wait. There's a risk that they wait until the stock market environment is quite panicky once again. So net it all out, and we're still in stormy conditions, and we want to try to be careful in this environment. And that seems such an obvious thing to say, but it certainly still implies in this environment. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you. I've got some interesting reports on this site. I hope you enjoy them.